T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I just wanted to say this is the greatest show that Kansas City's ever had.
Well, tell me, do you think it'd be all right if I could just crash here tonight? You can see I'm no sheep or
hey, hey, hey. Good to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget, tomorrow, of course, we do Festivus Friday right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. CDC, by the way, I don't know if we'd make this a topic later or what, but the CDC is now out with its updated guidance regarding people who are fully vaccinated, and they're saying you can go ahead and move as you wish outdoors and indoors without a mask. Now, obviously, businesses may say we prefer, since we don't know, we want you to wear a mask in our store. You would still have to do that. But we are day by day taking gigantic steps, thank God, to getting back to something yes. that looked like where we were in January and February of 2020.
Basically, this means everyone will be unmasked, because if you're vaccinated and a responsible human being, you now know what the CDC guidelines are. I don't have to wear it necessarily here or there. And if you are an anti-vaxxer, you're not going to wear it anyway.
Truth. So we can all just ditch the mask, I guess, is where we're going.
That's where I think we're going. Yes.
Okay. And we discussed this earlier this week. It is a seismic shift from where we are right now, and I'm okay with it for the most part. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm okay with it. It also doesn't hurt that I'm vaccinated now either.
Right.
But the seismic shift from where we are right now to where we were just a month or 2 months ago, I mean, America has just said, it's over. Now, whether that's true or not, I think the CDC would suggest yes. that it's not. But
well, India said it was over too a few months ago, and I'm not comparing what's happening over there to what could happen here. But I think just because optimism reigns supreme does not necessarily equal good health policy.
Okay. We have been nominated. I just want to bring this to your attention. Whom you vote for is your decision, or who you vote for is your decision. We're not here to influence your vote. We're not
like.
We are not
However.
Here. We are not here to influence your vote.
We're also not here for that.
But Kansas City Magazine, you can find them online at kansascitymag.com. Kansas City Magazine, kansascitymag.com. We have been nominated. Your show has been nominated for Best Local Radio Show. And
we are always humbled and thankful to see that.
The competition is strong.
Always is.
Always is.
Dare, I'm taking you down.
Bring it.
So if you'd like
to arm wrestle.
Voting started today. It ends in mid-June. If you think that this show might be your favorite, that's fine. That's great. Show your support by going to kansascitymag.com.
If you're a moderate fan, that's okay too.
Occasional listener, call
occasional
once in a
listener,
while.
Moderate fan of the show. God, he was funny.
Moderate fan of the show, call a couple times.
We we need every year to have a reverse contest where we pick our favorite listener of the year. And
kind of stinks.
Yeah, moderate fan is in there.
How about the guy whose grievance last week was that our laughs are fake?
Oh, God, he was funny.
Do we have him laying around somewhere, Sam, if you can find him?
Oh, he was funny.
Oh, Travis, man. Real quick before we let you go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, I need you to do Dana's laugh one more time.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, all right, got it. And then can you do my laugh one more time really quick?
Yeah.
So good.
He's so good. We have started to keep a catalog of our favorite callers so that perhaps at the end of the year we go through a little.
Travis definitely makes the list.
Little walk back in time. And yes, Travis definitely makes the list.
Okay. Moderate fan of the show. Call a couple times.
Yeah, okay.
Did you hear about the police report today? It's all over just about every news website you can find. In Georgia, where authorities say a man on a hunt for gasoline, because everyone's freaking out about gasoline, even though they fixed the pipeline. Police say a man drilled holes into the gas tank of a U-Haul to steal the fuel inside. Now, follow me here. Sam, you work around gasoline. There are many issues with drilling into someone's gas tank to steal fuel, not the least of which is the spark that comes off from the drill when you are trying to steal said gasoline.
Even if it's a plastic gas tank and there is no spark, the friction itself could cause some serious issues.
Not only was the truck damaged, obviously, it also caused a dangerous gas spill, which then firefighters had to be called to the scene to clean up. Quoting here from the Griffin Police Department's Facebook page, while we understand that there is a, I'm going to call this perceived shortage on gas. Mm-hmm. I added that word. Mm-hmm. We also want to remind everyone to exercise safety, patience, and common sense. It underscores the extreme some have taken to secure gas during the shortage that has dragged on since a major fuel pipeline shut down during the cyber attack. Services again up and running by the end of the week. And I believe they did catch the guy. They've got him on tape doing it.
There was also a Hummer in Citrus County, Florida, that caught on fire with 5 5-gallon gas cans in the back. They're not sure how it started, but they think it has something to do with the abundance of gas.
Have you guys seen, and I want to know if this is real, the plastic bags?
I've seen it.
Making the rounds, yes. Where it appears someone, and I don't know if this was today or 30 years ago, filled gasoline from a pump into a bunch of Walmart plastic bags, like the kind that you bring home from any grocery store.
It's a woman in the video. There are two videos/pictures that are making the rounds. One is this woman filling up grocery plastic bags with gasoline and then trying to put them in the back of her car. And then now whether or not that one is current or not, I must confess, I do not know. There is another one, and it's a still photograph of the hatchback of a car be lifted up, and inside you see garbage bags that are filled with gasoline.
Isn't it illegal? Isn't it against federal law to put gasoline in anything other than an unapproved container?
Yes, but the one with the trash bags in the back is not even from the United States. That was from a state in Mexico about 3 years ago when they were having a gas shortage. So if you see the one with the trash bags in the back of a
hatchback, that's modern day.
No,
that's Mexico.
That's 3 years ago. Now, whether the woman filling up the Walmart grocery bags is current or not, I don't know. But it's
Smokey the Bear is not a fan.
No, he's that's how you start forest fires.
I don't even like, if you have to get gasoline for the lawnmower, you know, every once in a while, I don't even like having that in my car riding back from the gas station to fill up the mower. Because I'm that sure I'm going to get in a wreck and then there's going to be a massive explosion.
Well, there's only one other way to get gas into your mower.
Skin grafts.
And that's push your mower to the gas station.
At KU Med. So I don't even like having a little thing of gas in my car.
Yeah. Here's what I've never understood about these sorts of panics, which is the only way to describe it. They're panics. Where are you going? I'm afraid we're going to run out. Then carpool. There are other ways to get where you're going than your, my God. And then with the toilet paper last year, now the gasoline this year, everybody's freaking out.
In the 5 days that the pipeline was shut down, I didn't fill up once.
I didn't either. The video, according to Newsweek, of the woman trying to put gas in a plastic bag with millions of views, by the way, is from 2019. I had a feeling that that was maybe something that was recycled. But this is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It sounds simple, but feds are warning against using plastic bags for fuel storage. No. I swear to you. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Administration is warning consumers do not use plastic bags to collect gasoline as fuel shortages persist throughout the Southeast. The warning came after several social media posts. We know this sounds simple, but when people get desperate, they stop thinking clearly, the agency said. They take risks that can have deadly consequences. If you know someone who's thinking about bringing a container not meant for fuel to get gas, please let them know that's dangerous.
All right, 576-7798.
They just tweeted, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline.
As if you needed to be told.
They did. Look, it's from the USPSC's website.
What do you think, because everybody puts them in their trunk, what do you think happens to those plastic bags the second you drive off?
What happens every time you bring home a jar of spaghetti sauce?
Yeah, they tip over.
Leaks.
Or they tip over and they're not sealed.
Well, not to mention, it's really hot in Florida. And gas, when it gets hot, combusts.
Yeah. If you guys want to weigh in on that, that's fine. 576-7798. There was a question on the text line. I feel compelled to answer it. They said, okay, so you're up for best local radio show this year, KansasCityMag.com. Who won last year? Well, I am humbled to say that Dana and Parks won last year. I would also remind you that last year, best radio personality went to Dana Wright.
I'm sure everyone meant both of us.
Best radio personality only had one name, and it was Dana Wright.
Yeah, Scott didn't make the list somehow.
Runner-up was Johnny Dare.
And like Kansas City Barbecue and the best barbecue, Scott wasn't even listening.
I wasn't even on the list. Meh. 576-7798. She's Dana Wright, reigning best radio personality at KansasCityMag.com. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby.
Yeah, that's funny.
Rebel Girl G on Twitter has posted the photo of all of the gasoline in plastic bags, which, by the way, does look like urine at first glance. Mm-hmm. And she writes, great thinking, morons. You just turned the family car into a rolling Molotov cocktail. Firefighters everywhere are screaming obscenities.
Wow. 576-7798. Let's go to Lacine and bring in Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if there was like a redundant system for oil supply or gas supply?
Like, what do you mean?
The shortages wouldn't happen, you know, like the one that O'Biden shut down.
You what? Mean a backup fuel system for when a pipeline goes down?
Yeah.
Well, you're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes. I don't think it was that funny.
We just talked about this regarding the power grid. Was it Texas that went it alone? And then
yes,
that
Texas
did not work out well for Texas?
I believe he was attempting to inject politics.
We are not allowing that on this fine Thursday.
Boxed out.
Or any day. Okay. Mike, by the way, the joke wasn't that funny. Just couldn't stop laughing.
No, his laughing at it is funny. That does make me laugh.
I just kept laughing. Jacob calling in from Independence. Hello, Jacob.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was just thinking that, you know, there are two types of people that panic buy and do crazy stuff. People that are high and Dana Wright. And I feel like Dana, I think I've met you once years ago in person. But for some reason, I feel like you're the type of person who on the radio does the the considerate thing tells everybody, don't panic buy, it's going to be okay.
Right.
But in your mind, you're thinking, if they don't panic buy, I can go out and buy 2 tons of toilet paper and at least 100 gallons of gasoline.
I'm telling you, I did not panic buy gasoline. I think down to a quarter of a tank.
I'm at an eighth.
And I never panic purchase toilet paper. Well, wait, I did go on Amazon and have some toilet paper delivered.
Why?
And it was oddly expensive. And when it got to the house, it was this micro roll. Like maybe you would find in Europe, or it was not toilet paper manufactured here.
It's a one-use roll.
Tiny, tiny little micro roll, not even shaped like a normal toilet paper roll. And that's $40 I'm never getting back.
Well, okay, wait. We got to peel this onion just a little bit. Why did you buy this?
Well, it was during the pandemic when everyone was like, well, we're not going to have any toilet paper. So I thought, well, I'll go online and see what I can find.
And how small was it?
Oh, I mean, it came in a pack of like 6 rolls, but they were tiny.
Well, and because they're tiny, why do you think they're European?
Well, I don't know, because we don't manufacture anything that looks like that here. Like the roll was even a different dimension and size.
Well, their toilet paper looks like our toilet paper.
I don't know. This was not normal toilet, and it was one ply, let me tell you what.
And you better use that ply judiciously.
Amen.
Be very careful how you waste that ply. All right. 576-7798. We're going to check the news here real quick. She's Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Hey, where's the drums?
Story here from CNN. The University of South Carolina has accepted the resignation of President Bob Caslon, who admitted that he plagiarized part of a speech by the former head of U.S. Special Ops during a weekend commencement. In a letter on Monday, Bob Caslon, president of the University of South Carolina, said he was truly sorry for having shared a well-known quote by Admiral William McRaven, who oversaw the successful raid that killed Osama bin Laden. I was searching for words about resilience in adversity, and when they were transcribed into the speech, I failed to ensure that it was attributed. I take full responsibility for this oversight, he wrote. I'm not going to give you the quote, but it's a pretty common quote. McRaven is extremely quotable. Caslon's speech was nearly identical to McRaven's, yet he was not given credit. That was not the only blunder made during the ceremony. At one point,
I don't want to say it's worse, but wow.
Caslon congratulated the graduates of the University of California instead of the school of which he is the president of, the University of South Carolina. He tried to cover over the audible gasps from the crowd and said, oops, sorry about that. I owe you push-ups. By the way, he's very accomplished, this Bob Caslon.
Of course he is.
He's a retired 3-star general.
How does the president of the University of South Carolina congratulate his students on graduating from the University of California?
I don't know.
I'm almost worried or wondering if there's something else going on there.
Well, but people make verbal gaffes all the time. You and I have made a career out of it.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't go up to someone and say, hi, my name is Scott. I work for 96.5 The Buzz.
No.
You know where you work.
True.
I mean, yes, we've mixed up words from time to time, or you like have that pause where you can't find the word.
You ever called a kid by a name that they're not?
Oh, constantly.
I've done it.
Or the dog's name.
Hell, I've.
But you are the president of the University of South Carolina at commencement for the University of South Carolina, and you congratulate the University of California. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, it's just a brain fart. I mean, everybody's done it, I think, right? There's something that I don't like about this story, and I can't figure it out. If it was a mistake and he quoted this guy directly but didn't give attribution, let me ask you a question. Plagiarism, if you're in journalism, of course, is a major sin.
Or education.
Well, I understand. Yeah, if you're turning in a paper and you've clearly written somebody else's words down. He's given a speech.
And he failed to attribute
it. It could have been a simple oversight. He may have copied it and then pasted it and thought, okay, I need to reword this, and or I need to add an attribution, and he failed to do it while he was...
He gave the speech twice, actually, once on the first day and then once on a subsequent day for a different graduation. He wrote in a letter to students, "I understand the responsibilities and higher standards of senior level leadership. When those are not met, trust is lost. And when trust is lost, one is unable to lead."
Did he receive any personal gain from giving these speeches?
It was commencement. He's a university president.
They I would imagine. It's part of their duty.
So then how would he be hurting the original writer, I guess, is my point. He's not stealing it for his own personal gain.
Well, but the act of plagiarism doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing it for your own personal gain. I don't think you have to show... Certainly financial gain. I mean, if you plagiarize, you plagiarize. Well, I don't think the meaning behind it or the reasoning behind it or your outcome in the end has any bearing on it.
Well, all right. Well, let's take this show, for example. You and I talk for roughly, and Sam, you can correct me on the math, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,000 hours a year.
It's a lot.
Actually, it'd be more than that. But anyway, I'm not going to get into the math because I suck at it. We talk for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours a year on this show, okay?
Correct.
I am convinced that after 15 years here on this show, I have said something and failed to attribute it to the original person who came up with that thought or that line or that idea. I'm sure I've done it.
But what you always say, who was it that said that? And then you'll say the quote. You remember somebody. Don't you remember a few years ago somebody said, and it was a great quote, and then you'll say it. You don't ever rip anybody off, because none of what we do here is scripted. You don't ever rip anybody off.
Not intentionally. Not,
what we would do is say, I can't remember who it was that said da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But fair. That's, you know, I love that quote kind of thing. Totally different.
Is it possible that he just made a mistake?
Is it possible he doesn't write his own speeches?
Yes.
I would 100% say yes. So then if this is what I would ask, if you didn't write the speech, but you deliver the speech as it is written and handed to you, did you commit plagiarism?
No.
I think without the intent there, it's hard to commit plagiarism if you didn't write it.
Well, maybe he did write. We don't know that
we don't
he
know.
Didn't.
And he would probably say, look, the buck stops with me. I've lost the trust of the faculty and staff.
But one goof is how you lose. This is an incredibly accomplished man. He's the former superintendent of West Point.
I know.
A retired 3-star general.
I know.
He's not some, you know, bookworm schmuck that they just pulled off the streets.
Most of the presidents aren't.
I mean, woo.
But you understand in academia, you are held to a higher standard because you are expected and expecting the students to be held to a higher standard.
I understand. I think this is it was a mistake, no question about it. A terminable offense for reading a paragraph from somebody else's work and not giving him attribution?
Not to go political, but this is not the first time this has happened at a speech. We had one first lady almost entirely rip off another first lady's speech and give it as her own.
Do you need to be suspended for
1 week? No, I'm just saying, I don't know if it's that people don't know the rules, they don't care about the rules, or someone is writing it for them, ripping it off and saying, read this.
A lot of it, I think, is somebody else writing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on deadline. Damn it, I need something good here. Oh, this looks pretty good. I'll just throw this in there. I'm not giving the speech. What do I care?
Yeah.
Name the person who wrote that speech that you just referenced. Name the person. Not the person who gave it. Name the person who wrote it.
I don't know that I could name a single speech writer except the one that wrote the Sirley Bonds famous speech that President Reagan delivered after the Challenger explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Shelley.
No.
Sally.
No.
I know who it is, and when you say it, I'm going to know it. That's the one speech writer I remember. And then Ben Stein, of course.
Let's go to the phones. Kay in Mission Hills. Hello, Kay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, my daughter happens to be working on the campus of the University of South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And without going into any details about that, she and I talked 2 days ago, and she said, A, that this chancellor is not well-liked in the community at all, and B, he might have been drunk.
We don't know that.
Kay, we don't know that. But you heard me say at the beginning, is it possible something else was going on? I don't believe that you work for the University of South Carolina and you congratulate students for their graduation from the University of California, unless there's something going on. And that wasn't even my first thought. Alcohol, my first thought was, God, I hope this isn't, you know, like an early onset.
I might be slipping a little bit.
Alzheimer's or something. Peggy Noonan.
Thank you.
You didn't know that.
She writes for the Wall Street Journal. She also wrote a book called When Character Was King. I have it.
Fine.
Have you read it?
Yes, I have. It's about Ronald Reagan and his presidency and her time working in the White House. She wrote that speech in 1986. By the way, she's not the first person that ever came up with that term.
The Surly Bonds?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Let's go to... Now, that I did not know. That was what I was looking up, was whether she was actually the person who came up with the term
Surly Bonds
of Earth. Yes, and she is not. Doug, but I don't remember Reagan giving attribution on that either. Doug in Brookside. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, I'd like to echo the last caller. That president was not a popular choice when he was chosen. I think this is a bigger issue than the gaffe that he had. This is an excuse. The gentleman has a military background. He did not have a doctorate. Many of the academia there were not happy with the fact he was not did not have a doctorate, did not come through the traditional educational system to become where he's at, and the students didn't like the fact that he had a military background. So I think this was just something they could hang the hat on and let him go.
Why would the students be upset that he had a military background? I mean, I thought we held the military these days. This isn't the early 1970s in Vietnam. I mean, I thought we held the military to high esteem.
You do. I do. People in that age bracket do not.
Okay. And by the way, to anybody in academia who thinks, well, he doesn't have a doctorate, he could simply look across and say, well, you don't have any stars either. He is a 3-star general. He is accomplished.
Yes, but can you be super accomplished in one field and it doesn't necessarily translate to another? Like, let me give you an example. You can be a super, super accomplished surgeon and not know how to change a tire. It doesn't mean you're dumb. It's just not your thing. And so maybe the students, I'm just spitballing here. Yeah. Why are we getting a president of a university? And typically those presidents come up through education and academia that does not have a background in education and academia.
Well, for the same reason that I'm going to use just a couple of different examples here. First of all, he's the president of the university. He's not a professor. He's not teaching classes. He's running an organization.
Correct, which is probably in large part fundraising,
so you're giving
speeches.
Your wall of books at home means nothing except it might speak to your level of intelligence and your ability to read books. It doesn't mean you can run a university. I would also point out something close to you and me. When you and I were both at the University of Kansas, Gene Buttig
was our president.
Was the president of the school or the chancellor at KU.
And then he went on to do baseball.
What did Gene Buttig play baseball? No. Was he a professional baseball player? No. But he was the president of the American League after he left KU. Sometimes it's not, and academia, or people in academia are such snobs. He's not a doctorate. Well, so what? He's running an organization. He's not sitting there teaching kids and grading tests.
Well, but he also would be over those who do that work.
Who think very highly of themselves.
Well, but Scott, let's say someone came into this building and had never, ever been in a radio station before, and they were given the title of your new boss, you would say the exact same thing. Now, wait a minute. We're getting a new boss who did what before now?
Fair point. But I have been in this business long enough, and I know you have as well, that sometimes the people they put over you have never been on the air. And
I just think in some professions, it's more important to have the background. And okay. I'm, again, not interjecting politics, but a few years ago, they were kicking around putting someone on the Supreme Court, and I'm not even going to get into which president or which nominee, who had never been a lawyer or tried or heard a case. And I do remember thinking at that time, whoever it was, and that's water under the bridge, you have got to be kidding me. You're trying to nominate someone to our highest court that has zero background in law.
Well,
and it doesn't mean they're dummies.
You're thinking of George W. Bush. She had a law degree. She had never tried a case.
And I said at the time, and I firmly believe this, no.
Okay.
First one on the text line, CEOs of hospitals have MBAs, not MDs.
That's true.
That's a great point. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I'm Scott here on KMBZ. Mind if we do. Story here from the New York Daily News. These cats are on the case. More than 1,000 feral cats have intentionally been put on the prowl in Chicago since 2012 in an effort to fight the overabundance of rats in the city. The operation is handled by the Treehouse Humane Society, which refers to the initiative as Caw Cats at Work. I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
Says Sarah Liss, a program manager for the Humane Society, referring to the cats, they are actually deterring them with their pheromones. That's enough to keep the rats away. The rat problem is not a new one in Illinois' biggest city. Last October, Chicago was declared the rattiest city in the United States for
Gross.
The sixth consecutive year.
And that had nothing to do with the rats.
Okay.
Ba-dum-bum. That's disgusting. I'm creeped out by feral cats.
Why?
And then if you're releasing the feral cats to kill the rats, don't the feral cats then multiply and then you have more feral cats than you do rats?
Yes, probably. But the rats... Rats are like honey badgers. Rats are like honey badgers. They don't care. They don't care.
So disgusting.
Have you ever seen a rat like out in the wild?
Have I ever told you about the time? I have not seen one like that. But a friend of mine who worked in a street side popular open door restaurant in Kansas City. But when I say street side, I mean the street and the sidewalk and the front door are all on the same plane. And so they used to very aggressively put out rat poison to try and get a handle on the issue. And my friend was working there one day, and a drunk, drugged up, almost dead rat stumbles in through the front door like, and she said, you would have thought somebody had walked in. I mean, people just started screaming because the only thing more disgusting than a rat
was a drunk
is
rat.
A half dead, poisoned drunk rat.
So it was like hanging on for dear life.
It was hanging on and stumbling. And then it's like people are running around. What do? Do you capture it? I mean, bleh, it's so gross. It honestly makes me sick to think about it.
What is it? I mean, I've never been able to figure it out.
Like, well, with squirrels, we're not like that.
Yeah, is it because they don't enter the house? It's not like they're a lot cleaner.
I don't know.
I mean...
Or is it because they are associated with the Black Plague? Or what was it with the rodents and the fleas that wiped out half the world's population?
I believe that was the plague.
Or the bubonic plague. It was one of those plagues. Is it because they're associated with disease?
Well, they're not the cleanest animals on the planet.
Ah, I don't even want to talk about it. See, I've got the heebie-jeebies just talking about it.
See, rodents don't freak me out. I don't understand. I mean, even if there was like a mouse in the house, I would just set a trap. I'd be
but,
like,
but in the hierarchy of rodents, if you, and you're right, Scott, if you put a mouse on the floor, I would freak out and probably jump up on my chair.
Right.
You put a rat on the floor, I'm jumping out the window.
I mean, they're the Satan of rodents.
It is. In the hierarchy of disgusting there's got to be a hierarchy, and I would put the possum right below the rat. Those things are disgusting.
But they don't come in your house. They're just cute and blind, and they're just walking across the street trying to get to their babies, and then, boom, you run them over with your car like a jerk.
What has happened?
I'm telling you this. I would, honest to God, if you gave me the choice between 5 rats in my house and 100 cockroaches... Give me the rat.
Really, Sam?
What band is this? Is this Vixen?
They call it Possum.
All right. We got to check the news. What are we doing? We've got the Florida woman.
Oh, just wait.
Who really, really cares about her Instagram account. Really cares. And controversy at Leavenworth schools for parents who just wanted to chaperone a field trip. What do you mean I can't go? Get to that and much more coming up on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.